All right, well, let's go ahead and I'll call the meeting to order and I'll ask Mario to do the formal roll call, please.
Thank you, Dwayne. So welcome everyone to our monthly teleconference call on Tuesday, the 22nd of May. We have on the line Dwayne, Vessels, Jim Braid. We have Brad Bird, Howard Elan, Kevin Ranchbar, Peter Cog, Ross Mundy, and on behalf of the staff, we have Steve and myself, Mario, doing the call management. Thank you.
Mario, there's somebody on the call with just a telephone number.
Yes, I believe it is Brad.
Okay. Hey, Brad.
Hello. Yeah, I don't have Zoom working.
Lucky you.
All right. Thank you, Mario. So welcome back, everyone, to one of our regular meetings. We've been off for a few months with nothing really to do. So we're back now. We've got a couple of things to discuss today. We will discuss proposal for a root zone management evolution study, and we'll discuss a board resolution about the KSK rollover. And then at the end, we'll talk about future meetings. Before we get into that, I'll ask Mario to go through the action items from our previous meeting, which was in December. I know those minutes have already been posted, but I'll ask Mario to go through the action items now.
This is Mario. Thank you, Dwayne. I am going to read the action items actually from our last meeting in December. The first one was staff to publish the minutes, transcripts, and audio recording from the 20th November 2017, and that have been already posted online, and the minutes have been distributed over the mailing list. But that action item is complete. The second one is staff to work with Dwayne and make statements of interest available in RCERC website. That action item is also complete. We have everyone listed on the website. And the last action item, we have staff to work with Dwayne to discuss internal archive repository and future RCERC member appointments. I believe actually the member appointments, it is a work in progress actually that we're still discussing with Dwayne. And the internal archive for RCERC, we have just completed that action item, and we can have actually all of our documents in the cloud. Over to you, Dwayne.
Okay, thanks. And the December minutes have already been posted, I believe, right? We did that via email.
Yes, that is correct. Okay. So the minutes were distributed over the mailing list last January, and we provided actually a comments by February the 5th. We didn't receive any comments, so we published those minutes online.
Okay.
You can find them on the website.
Okay, so and with regard to the action item about the appointments, that's still something for myself and the staff to do. I know that some of the appointments are essentially annual, and so it's likely that some of those are coming up soon. And if you know that you are appointed annually, you may want to have a conversation with your appointing organization about whether or not you'll be willing to continue and so on. And Mario and I will take a closer look at that and have more for the next meeting.
Thank you, Dwayne.
All right, so let's move on to sort of the meat of the meeting. RCERC received, or I received an email from Ed Lewis, who works for the ICANN Office of the CTO, about this proposed root zone evolution management study. You should have seen this in the email on the list. The background on this is that this came out of a working group that was working on the before the NTAA or IANA transition, when that working group was discussing this topic, RZERC did not exist yet. So this came from a point in time when RZERC was not really fully formed or maybe even considered. But the idea is that after the NTIA transition, there should be a study to examine whether or not NTIA's exit caused any problems, or is anything lacking after that oversight went away. The Office of the CTO has a pretty well-formed document discussing the need for the study. They're asking RZERC to comment on the scope of the study and the timing of the study. The study itself would be conducted via a third party. It would go out for RFP, be awarded to a third party, would sort of be managed by the Office of the CTO, and any recommendations from the study would likely be directed to RZERC. Since much of the focus of the study would be on the root zone management partners, of which VeriSign is one, I plan to largely recuse myself from this discussion. So I'd like to open it up for discussion and input from other RZERC members on what we've received from Octo on this proposed study. Jim, I see you have a hand raised.
Yeah, thanks, Finn. I'm not sure there's a need for this quite yet, quite frankly. It's probably premature to look about what the post-NTIA arrangements look like, since pretty much nothing has happened significant since then. So I can see there might be a need or justification for doing a study like this. I'm not sure of the timing of it. Is it really necessary now? Maybe there's some other pressures on Octo or ICANN that this is part of the whole NTIA transition arrangements, that they have to have a study of this nature. But I'm not sure there's any real value in it at the moment if it was to be carried out.
Thanks, Jim. I'll add just one bit of information about the timing. So in the proposed study documents that we have, there was no timeline proposed. I think that Octo is interested in doing this just because they said they would. It was recommended via the transition document, but there is no proposed timeline at this point.
I could understand Octo wanting to get this particular thing done and dusted and out of the way.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then sure, why not? I've no objection to doing the study at all, but I'm not sure if it's going to have any meaningful results other than just maybe solving some layer 9 problem.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. I don't remember whose hand was next. Did you see Mario?
Yes, it's Ross next, please.
Okay.
Thanks. I was one of the people from ESSAC on the ICG, but this recommendation actually was one that was embedded in the CWG NAMES proposal. So it became part of what was referred to as the ICG integrated proposal. And I agree that there was no real time frame for it per se. I'm in agreement generally with Jim's comments earlier that I don't know that there's that much information or activity that has necessitated or that would give a lot of results from doing a study at this point. There was one question that I had that I had not had a chance to go explore the answer myself, because it might be out there. And that was in the set of information and statistics that PTI maintains and reports to the Customer Standing Committee. Are there indicators in any of those data points that would give any indication of information relative to seeking some of the answers that are identified in this study. My sense is I think there might be something or some, but I don't have enough knowledge myself. Perhaps someone else on the call does. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Russ. That's a good question. My sentiment is about the same as yours. I think maybe there would be, but I don't know. I think Peter was next.
Yes, Peter's next.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Good evening, good morning, good something. I am not sure I fully understand the scope of the study. I did read the excerpt of the CWG output that inspired the study, but I'm wondering whether it is really narrowly focused on the three parties involved in the changes. And I think the current description could be a bit improved in that direction. It says interviews with stakeholders, and I would assume that in this case, mostly TLD operators are stakeholders, but then mentions that the mandatory groups to interview are actually the three parties involved again. So I'm not really sure I understand what it is. I was also going to say what Russ already mentioned. ASRC has in its charter a task to liaise or at least coordinate or cooperate with the CSC. To the best of my knowledge, while there is a report out from a CSC review on work and all the CSC reports, I am not aware of any particular issues, but that doesn't have to preempt the study. So I would not see a reason to postpone it, even though it might not be, there might not be an immediate need, but if it's on the agenda, then we might want to work on improving the scope and focus. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Peter. Howard, go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Hi, everyone. So the point that I took notice of was in section three, the scope of the study. I think one reason why this might be valid now is in this day and age of you know, constant attacks and what have you, that potentially looking that to see that that there, you know, they can see if there are holes in the process or see if there are risks involved with the way the process is currently set up or what have you. So from a risk analysis and potential mitigation perspective, I think maybe this might be good. I don't know when was the last time such a risk analysis was conducted, but the way that it's framed at the beginning, it sounds to me like that's one of the things they're looking for. The only thing, other thing I would note is I actually take a little bit of exception to the last sentence in section three, where they say, well, you know, if it's not going to be cost effective to rewrite something because it's wrong, then we shouldn't do it. If a risk analysis shows that there is a flaw that is significant enough to warrant a complete redo of a process, then I think cost should not necessarily be the thing that decides whether or not that happens. So I have a little bit of an issue with that last statement. Not that they would even find anything, but if the study should, I don't think that should, you know, well, we'd really like to fix this process, but it's really expensive, so we're just going to leave it in there and, you know, internet beware. I think that's a mistake. So those are the only points I would say about it. As far as should they conduct it or not, I'm again, from a risk analysis perspective, I think it's good. I'd be fine with them conducting this now. So those are my points. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Howard. I didn't see who's next. Sorry.
We have Jim and then Russ.
I think Russ was before me.
Ah, okay.
Well, maybe that was an old hand. I'm not sure.
No, it is a new hand. I wanted to respond a little bit to some of Howard's comments and some of the other earlier discussion by others that the scoping laid out isn't as tight as it might be for things of this nature. And I don't remember who, maybe it was Howard, asked or suggested that it would be good to do a risk assessment because they weren't sure when the last one was done. And I'm sorry we don't have Kim on the call with us today, but it's my opinion that there has never been a risk assessment done on the overall root zone management process, because the last time there was a major redesign was prior to when doing risk assessment, risk analysis had really come into vogue, and it was it was tied to the root zone automation work, which was, I think, tied to or as a result of the 2012 contract between NTIA and ICANN. And it wasn't really a risk analysis per se. It was, we got to figure out how to automate this and make it work right. I don't perceive that that was the intent of this. At least that's my opinion based on, you know, the view that I have from being an ICG participant. But in terms of is it a wise and sensible thing for the organization of ICANN to be thinking about doing, I would be generally in agreement with it, with doing such a thing and performing a risk assessment. But I don't know that it fits exactly this piece of work. So that's kind of my response to Howard's thoughts in the risk assessment space. Thanks.
Thanks, Russ. Jim, go ahead.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, everybody else. I kind of agree with pretty much everything that both Russ and Howard had said. If this work has to go ahead, maybe the work has to be clearly, much more clearly scoped in terms of, is there going to be a risk assessment being done? And if so, what sort of risks are we assessing? Is it the process for generating the root zone and transmitting that to the root servers? Or is it something else? For example, checking the bona fides of those that are making changes, say on behalf of a TLD operator. I'm not quite sure where the boundaries quite lie. And I think some clarity about the scoping is needed, as Peter was talking about earlier. I would also take issue with some of the aspects of the scoping study as well. I mean, third bullet point says security. Does the process ensure the intended route changes follow ICANN policies? That seems to be more of a stability thing rather than a security issue. I mean, if we're talking about security, we're talking about things like authenticating the requests and making sure there's no potential for bad data to be injected into the system somehow for some definition of bad data. So I'm not quite sure what they meant by security here. Remember, the security needs to be teased out, separated from the issue about the process follows ICANN policies. That doesn't seem to be a security consideration per se. But on to the actual thing later on, Herb is quite right to say that if the study recommends a radical redesign of the system, that's not going to be acceptable. Well, I think that's quite wrong. And also the previous sentence in that paragraph says, recommended changes must be evolutionary in nature. Well, again, that's for whoever does the study to decide whether evolutionary changes or revolutionary changes are required, and that's not something that should be predetermined in either the scope of the study or in the remit for whoever's actually going to carry it out. So I'm a little bit concerned about that too. If the study goes ahead and we're just doing something that's going through the motions when the outcome's already been predetermined by the people that are commissioning the study, that gives me a little bit of a cause for concern.
Thanks, Jim. Peter, you're next. Let me respond to something Jim just said about the evolutionary. I think the reason that's in there is because I think the OCTO is undertaking a separate study that's focusing on revolutionary nature. So I think that's why that's in there, but we can get clarification on that for sure.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
Yeah, Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So while we're talking about the scope, going back to the CWG recommendation, there's a lot of talk about unauthorized or out of process changes and the likes. So while we haven't seen them, so there is no immediate trigger, it is of course prudent to make a risk assessment and extend the risk assessment to those scenarios. However, I do not see that reflected very much in the scope of the study. In essence, the security bullet point, and we can talk whether it's security or stability, but the security point only talks about the intended root zone changes and doesn't mention unintended or unauthorized changes at all. And to add what Howard and Jim said, if you look at the section three, there's only like three bullet items and a sentence about the scope, and the rest already goes into constraining the solution space. So there is kind of an imbalance that I would agree needs to be addressed. And if there's a second study underway, then it would be good to know the whole picture of studies that is to be scheduled to assess what this particular study might do or how we could improve the scoping or the output. Thank you.
Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Thanks, Dwayne. It's just to build on what Peter just said. I mean, if there is this other study that you mentioned, Dwayne, it would be good to see where the boundaries between the studies that we're discussing now and this hypothetical other study, what are the boundaries between the two? And, you know, if there's a point to doing this particular study and the revolutionary study is the one that's going to be, that's going to get more emphasis or more support inside ICANN, what's the point?
Okay. So I think the thing we need to maybe decide next is, you know, how do we want to respond to this request? It sounds like we have some sort of mild consensus at this point that, you know, there's not necessarily opposition to this. We're not sure if it's necessary at this point in time. If it were to go forward, Arzurk would like to see clarification of the scope. Do we want to send, you know, a response back to OCTO saying that, or do we want to propose something more specific regarding the scoping? Go ahead, Peter, I think.
Yeah, that was my microsecond earlier, I guess. I would try to ask for clarification. While I do agree that if the recommendation from 2016 mentions such a study, it is prudent to at some point in time pick it up and actually conduct it. However, the scoping and some of the details aren't clear enough, and the OCTO team or whoever came up with this text had some things in mind that they should have a chance to elaborate on to enable us and the rest of the community to comment a bit more in depth.
Okay, thanks. Jim?
Thanks, Dwayne. I think the summary that you proposed just a few moments ago, Dwayne, is fine as far as I'm concerned. Yes, it would be nice to have a bit more clarity on the scope and the stakeholders and all the rest of it. But I'm also wondering what kind of role RZEP should have in this whole thing? I mean, are we being asked to veto the proposal or change it in some way? Or are we being just asked to see whether we think it's a good idea or not? So I'm really not sure why we've been asked to discuss this, what kind of input we can have into the development of the study, or what difference it's really going to make. If I can, or the Opto's mind to go ahead and do this kind of study, they're going to do it regardless of whether we say it's a good idea or not.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure about that. I think that Octo will value Arzurk's input. I think we can steer it sort of as much as we're willing to. But yeah, you know, this is all new and it's never happened before. So there is certainly some uncertainty there. But in my conversations with you know, Ed Lewis from the Octo team, he was very keen to have our input. So I don't think, but as I said at the start, I don't think that, you know, we're being asked to drive the study other than provide this initial input. And I think the recommendations would be directed towards our Arzurk.
Yeah.
Howard, go ahead.
Yes. So, yeah, so if I think I'm kind of stuck on Jim's point of, I understand they want input, but input in what way? Is it yes, this looks great, or not? Is it we should, yes, you should do this, no, we shouldn't do it? Or is it given the text that we have, here's how we think you can improve this report, or how we think this report ought to be conducted, because either this document is too generic, or it is it's not granular enough to really to be substantial enough to make a real comment. So maybe some questions come back. I do think that if this is our one, if we only have one one shot at the well here, that I think it behooves us to, at least from what I'm hearing from other folks, to say, if you're going to do a risk, if you wanted to do some kind of risk assessment, do a risk assessment. Don't, as Peter was saying, don't constrain it out of the gate. Don't just let the information take you where it's going to take you, but do a full risk assessment. Don't do kind of a half-shotty report that checks the box.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we necessarily have one shot. I think that we can iterate back and forth on this. But that's a good question that we need to find out the answer to.
Well, Dwayne, sorry to interrupt for a sec. I think the question then would be is what do we mean by how meant by one shot? I took that to mean is this could be like a one-time study that might never be repeated, rather than how we deal with this particular issue in front of us right now.
Yeah. Yeah. When he said one shot, I interpreted that as, you know, do we get one chance to provide our input to the study? I'm thinking that we'll have back and forth.
Yeah. But my question would then be is this a once in a lifetime study or not? In that sense, it's a one shot thing. If we don't get this right, we're never going to revisit this stuff until 10, 20, 15 years from now.
Oh, I don't, that doesn't sound likely to me. I mean, I think that really, again, the impetus for this is this old recommendation that directed ICANN to perform the study. So they want to do it. They want to check that box. But that doesn't, I don't think that precludes any future studies, which could be either initiated by Arzurk or by Octo or somebody else.
Okay.
All right, we should try to wrap this up because we have other things to talk about, but I think Russ was next and then Peter.
Sorry, get the unmute here. just to remind folks again where Arzurk came from, it has been viewed by a lot of people conceptually as the replacement for NTIA in the whole roots of management process structure. And so, you know, when ICANN was asked to look at doing this study, at least in my view, the original intent was that the whoever the study, does the study, it was not intended to be a big full-blown risk assessment. I don't think it was intended to be a big, massive effort to identify shortnesses and so forth in the whole overall process. Now, as I said earlier, I am not at all opposed to doing such a thing. And I have had conversations with board members about things like that, because they were raising the question about what are the critical systems that ICANN has and so forth. But I don't think this study was meant to do this. I think it, and the reason that we're being asked by ICANN, I believe, is that we would be in some manner a part of the study, because since nobody really knew for sure what NTIA's role and job was, nobody really knows for sure what the RZERC job is, and somebody said we need to make sure there aren't any problems when we replace this organization called NTIA with this organization called RZERC, which didn't even have a name when the study was put out. So I think it should be very constrained, I think, in terms of what gets examined here. Thanks.
All right. Peter, you get the last word.
Thank you. I was going to support the perception that this is entering a dialogue rather than having one shot at a response and then the thing is going its way. First of all, for a couple of formalities in our charter and so on and so forth, because actually the evolution hasn't even taken place. So I would consider this a very early warning by ICANN staff or the Octo team in particular. And then we could always invoke ourselves to comment on whatever we see happening. So instead, I'd suggest actually that we, however we communicate back, we send the subliminal or explicit message that we understand that this is kind of a dialogue going on. It doesn't have to be very long, but as long as we don't have clarity, it is unclear what is really asked of us. And maybe we go back with that first. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Peter. It sounds to me like, you know, the next step for us is to write up our thoughts and send them back to the Octo team. I'm wondering if anyone would be willing to volunteer to help draft some words. If not, I can certainly do that. But again, I want to sort of distance myself as much as I can from this being a little bit of a conflicted party. So is anyone willing to help draft a response?
Dwayne, this is Mario. I will also be sharing the notes from this meeting just after we finish, since I'm taking them down. So that will be easier for anyone.
Okay. Russ?
Yeah, I don't want to take the lead on a first cut, but I see Howard's hand also. I'll be happy to help work this with somebody. Okay. I have too many ideas already in my head from ICGJs. I wouldn't want to let that influence it too much.
All right. Thanks, Russ. And Howard, are you also volunteering here a little bit?
Yeah, unlike Russ, I am completely uncluttered.
Nice.
In my brain space. But yeah, I'll be happy to help.
Okay.
The minutes will help immensely, though.
Yeah. All right. And I think Peter in the chat also offered to help. So Mario, if you can take note of that and then work with these folks to draft a response, that would be great.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, Howard, your hand is still up. Is that leftover or is that something new?
Okay. Sorry, that was
no problem. No problem. All right, so I'm going to close out this topic and then I'll hand it over to Kaveh to talk about the board resolution on the KSK rollover.
Okay. Hello, everyone. So basically, not much to say. I sent also the link to the full resolution. The board is there is going to be a resolution in the board meeting before the KSK rollover, and there, but before advising the org to basically go ahead with the rollover. The org has already published the plans. The board, before advising the org to basically go ahead with those plans, wanted to get advice from the advisory bodies that normally advise the board on root zone and security and stability matters, which is basically RZERC in this case, RSAC and SSAC. So basically, board has sent that request to RZERC. It's completely in our remit to say whatever we want to say. We can say we don't find it relevant, or we think already relevant parties are engaged, or if we have any technical input or anything. I don't know how the form I will leave to the group and to Duane, but if we have input, we can also, we have a chance to bring it back to the board. The only thing to mention here is, at least if we want them to stick to the published plan, we need to give them the feedback before 10th of August. Because then there is time needed for Octo to revise it, send it to the board. Board needs to have it for 2 weeks. So in September, they can actually vote and advise the org to do the rollover in October 11th. So if you really want to give advice, but still stay with the current timing, you should do it before 10th of August. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you very much, Kaveh, for that. Russ, I see you have a hand raised. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Duane. I wanted to let folks know that the ESSAC will be has started a work party to decide what, if anything, they want to provide advice on in on this same resolution. So as things from that become available, I'm happy to share what I can with Arzur. I have not had a chance to talk to Brad. I don't know if RSAC is going to undertake to try to put something together in terms of a response or not. So
discussions are still underway in RSAC.
Okay, thanks, Brad. Yeah, so anyway, I will provide what makes sense or what I can from ESSAC. Our objective in ESSAC is to at least have general scoping of what kind of response we want to make by the time of the meeting in Panama City. So in a little over a month from now, hopefully I'll at least have something that I can provide to RZERC in terms of the general discussion space that ESSAC is looking at. Thank you.
All right, thanks very much, Russ. Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I was just sharing the observation that while the rationale for the board resolution explicitly mentions RSEC and ESSEC not having commented by now, which was addressed by the previous speakers, RZERC is not mentioned in the rationale at all. So again, I'm not completely sure what is asked of us, especially given that one of the tasks of RZERC would be, or would have been, mind the past tense then, to make sure that all parties involved or concerned have actually had a chance to raise their voice, which most likely is the case in this case.
Peter, just some one input about not being mentioned in rationale. I can assure you that that's basically an administrative issue. So because I remember how this was added and I know exactly what happened here. This is something that I will bring back to the board ops, but what would have been added is not different, because basically this is copy-paste from charters of each one of these. So the idea in simply was the board thought of which groups they should ask, and we also discussed we might get, we don't have any operation here, So no advice, which is fine with the board. But we went through this organization in the PTC and recommended to the board to go with the three organizations, RSEC and SEC.
Okay, Kaveh, thank you for the clarification.
Jim, go ahead.
Thanks, Wayne. Kaveh, does that mean the board would be more comfortable if RSEC gave some kind of formal response back?
I don't think I understood the question. So board would, I think the board expects a response, but whatever the response we are comfortable with is they would accept, I guess.
Okay, but what I mean is, if RSEC says nothing, is the board going to be concerned about that? Or is the board looking for RSEC to give some kind of statement which will give them a warm feeling?
Actually, I think I really don't know, I guess we have to ask Steve or Mario, because board has formally now asked RSEC for a response. I think anyways RSEC has to respond. I don't think we can just say nothing. Even if we don't want to say anything, I think we should document that and say we don't want to respond to this request. But I think we are obliged to provide some answer to any request. And the reason is just for completeness. I mean, for the ones who follow, it is basically the same plan from last year. It's just now additional measurements in place. And the board thought, before telling org, just discovering another, basically, or going through another measure to make sure that everyone who actually wanted a chance or needed a chance to comment has a chance to comment, because this is something which obviously touches everything. So that's why this was also proposed.
Russ, go ahead.
Thanks, Dwayne. I believe that because of the way that this was written and that it was explicitly sent to RSEC and the wording of the resolution itself, RSEC must respond with something, and a response to the board could be that RSEC has no advice to offer, you know, beyond what's blah, blah, or just, you know, everything looks fine. Or it could be that, you know, we want to provide advice in one space or another. But the issue, as Kaveh was saying, is to make sure that all of the potentially impacted parties from the KSK rollover have an opportunity to provide an input to the board on whether or not to proceed. And obviously the makeup of ESSAC and the makeup of RSEC is different than the makeup of RSEC. So this is an opportunity for the membership of RSEC to have RSEC speak as an entity itself, even if it's we have no further advice. Thanks.
Howard?
Thanks. So I went through all of the different documents that ICANN has, you know, grouped into that in the one spot there. I do actually, I'm not going to iterate what it is here because I don't want to turn that into a rat hole or make it an actual action item of anything. But I do see some areas where things could be improved or things could be either optimized or clarified. But I don't necessarily know if we want to take that on or not. I mean, I think if we're going to look at this, we should really look at it and not just give it a glancing blow. I don't know. It sounds like we have to do something. And if we're going to do something, I think we should do, you know, we should kind of pour our hearts into it and see if there's anything. I know for a lot of folks, this is shall I say, not the first time they've looked at this, but maybe with some fresh Arzurk hats on, maybe we can find some ways to either improve it or at least improve the documentation or what have you. You know.
Okay, thank you, Howard. So I've been trying to sort of think about what our choices are in terms of how we could respond. So one choice is we could say, thank you for asking us, but we have no further advice on this. So basically sort of opting out politely. We could say we support proceeding with the rollover as documented, as described. We could say we support proceeding with the rollover with some caveats, maybe as Howard is saying, some better documentation or some better processes, or maybe at a different time. Or we could say we don't support proceeding with the rollover at this time. So I see sort of four options. Does anyone else see different options or not like any of those as possibilities? Peter?
Yeah, I think we have at least one other option, which is looking at the process and then find or share what we see in terms of participation. It's obvious that the whole consultations did not result in many voices being raised. That is
probably, you mean the public comments?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
This is not necessarily anybody's fault, except that, but still, it could indicate some white spots on the landscape, so to speak, in terms of how do we reach our stakeholders, and then this whole question of policy making on the fly, and so on and so forth. I am not completely convinced that Arzurk's role is making yet another assessment, especially given that we have an ESSEC and an RSEC representative on the team. My understanding of the charter is that one of our roles is making sure that everybody had their chance to speak, and that would indicate in the direction of what could be done to improve that situation. Again, no blame on anybody.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Howard, go ahead.
I almost want to channel my inner Jim here and say, what exactly was the ask? On their side, it's not thoroughly clear to me. Are they looking for the blessing? Are they looking for, here's how, if we were doing it, here's how we'd improve it? Is it, does Arzurk feel that the community has had an adequate say, or are there other areas, as Peter mentioned, are there other constituents that they should make sure that they are doing active reach out to that they currently haven't or what have you? So I'm not exactly sure what the ask is, but
that Mario, can you scroll up on the document a little bit to the top of this? A little bit further.
Yeah. Stop there.
Yeah. So this is. Basically, these three short paragraphs are the ask, and really it's the last one. It's a very open-ended question for advice on this updated plan document. That's it.
And I read this obviously before we started, but it was again to me it was what would you like us to advise you on? You know what I mean? I guess that's where I'm coming from. Like I said, because there's a lot of, there seems to be a lot of different paths we could walk down.
Kaveh, go ahead.
Yeah. So to answer Howard, I think I mean, so first of all, thank you for the feedback, because this is something I can bring back to the board. So when we write the resolution, this is actually good feedback. So to make sure that they're more clear next time. But for this one, is specifically advice on this plan to the tune that, as I mentioned, in September, board is basically planning to ask or ICANN organization to go ahead with that plan and implement it. So basically, in 11th of October, we have the case square rollover. Board is asking all of these three bodies, before making that, asking ORC to do that, is there anything they should consider, or RZERC and RSAC and please, this is good enough, and all the record considerations are there. That's basically the ask.
Okay, thanks, Kaveh. Jim, go ahead.
Two quick points. My gut feel is we probably should send a response saying we have no advice to give. Modulo the concerns that Howard raised a moment ago, but on that particular thing, the second point we just asked Howard is, did you make those concerns known through ICANN's public comment period? And if not, why raise them now?
I don't know if he's Howard, I think that was a question for you. I don't know if you want to answer or not, but I think Jim was asking a question of you.
Oh, sure. I mean, one of the things I don't want to do is, you know, if folks have said, all right, what does everyone think, you know, community wise, and hardly anybody says anything, and I don't think the right thing to do is to circle back and say, okay, does anybody really, really have anything to say? I wasn't suggesting we try and do something like that. I just wanted, my question is more along the lines of this was derived from Peter's comment about, you know, charter and such, about making sure everyone is adequately represented and what have you. If we feel that that's the case, then I think Jim's exactly right that the answer is, oh, we're good. If not, if we feel that it's that, or we feel like we need to make some comments of, you know, we feel that there's an area of clarification or improvement here or there. Obviously, this is our one chance to do it, because, you know, it sounds like we have until August and then we're done. So. Did that answer your question, Jim? I'm sure it did.
I hope so. Yep. Thanks.
So let me ask this. Does anyone feel like we need to discuss this before our next meeting, which would take place in about a month? We have this August 10th deadline. That sort of gives us about two more meetings to come to, you know, consensus on this. Should we sort of table this until our next meeting, or do we need to work on it before then? Peter?
Yeah, I think we should not really drop the ball. I'm not convinced that sorry, nothing to say is the correct response, even though it might be formally acceptable. And I would suggest that we work on this on the mailing list, and then in the next call, see how far we got. And if we didn't make any progress in any direction or cannot agree, we may, we may need to schedule another meeting. But I guess the mailing list is underutilized at the moment, and we could converge there better than waiting for the next meeting.
Okay, that's good input. Thanks, Peter. So I'll plan to, have this discussion on the mailing list, and be a little, you know, we'll, for our next meeting, we'll have some more preparation. Russ, go ahead, quickly.
Yeah, I'd suggest also that RZERC members that have a need for coordination with their sending bodies undertake to make sure that the sending bodies know that R. Zurich has been asked this question. And so if the sending bodies want to provide any input, we can start collecting that data also.
Yeah, very good point. Thank you, Russ. Thank you. All right, let's close out this topic and spend our last few minutes talking about our next meetings. As everyone knows, ICANN 62 in Panama is coming up next month in June. I've requested ICANN staff to reserve us a meeting slot in case we would like to meet. I think it would be helpful to know who would be there in person and who would not. Mario, can you sort of conduct a quick roll call on that? Or maybe you can type in chat or something.
Yes, absolutely. Just let us know if anyone will be participating. We have a tight agenda, actually, because it is actually a policy meeting. And so we'd like to schedule to see actually when people arrive and when people leave, just to coordinate and create a reservation for a meeting room. So okay. Maybe we perhaps, I don't know, to start with Brad and Jim and Carlos to see the first three.
I think people are doing it in the chat. I'll coordinate with Brad since he's not on the chat. So we've got Carlos.
I'll be in attendance.
Yeah. All right. Sounds like a lot of us will be there. Howard won't be there. All right. Quickly, next question related to Panama is we should decide if our meeting in Panama would be a regular meeting, which is, say, just like this, closed to the public, but the, you know, the transcripts are available, or should it be a fully open public meeting? Opinions? Peter.
So maybe it is hard to tell if we need a working session for one of the responses. I'm not sure we want to confuse the public, so to speak, or whether that public meeting can actually be a useful work session. I'm not convinced. But then again, we don't know whether we need that working session.
Yeah. Jim?
I agree with Peter. I'm not sure we need a working session. We'll maybe see what happens after the discussion on the list. And I'm also skeptical about the need for a public session in Panama. It's not so long ago that we had a public session, so if we're planning to do this once a year, I would think maybe the meeting towards the end of the year in Barcelona might be more appropriate if we feel the need for a personal meeting. And I'd be inclined to not make a decision about having a public meeting for Panama, but if the group feels that's appropriate, then fair enough, I'll go with the flow.
Okay, thanks, Jim. All right, we're going a little bit over, so I'm going to just skip to the last item, which is scheduling our next meeting. We tentatively agreed to meet, I think it's the third Tuesday of every month, which would put us at June, or third Monday of every month, which would put us at June 18th, which is a week before Panama. Would folks like to meet a week before Panama, or just postpone and meet in Panama instead? All right, I'm hearing no opinion. So let's, I'll suggest to, Russ, you got an opinion?
Yeah, if we're that close to Panama, I think unless something comes up, because we can always schedule a telecom if we need it, I'd say let's just plan on meeting in Panama.
Okay, thanks. All right, so we will tentatively plan on that. We have some work that we'll take to the list, and our next regular meeting sounds like will be face-to-face in Panama for most of us. Is there any last-minute business that anyone has to discuss before we wrap up? All right, doesn't sound like it. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, everyone.